Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, during World War II, a young man from Cork named Patrick O'Connell died in a prisoner of war camp. And even then, he wasn't allowed to rest in peace. His body was subjected to medical experiments by the Nazis. An attempt is now being made to reunite Patrick and his family. Dr. Aisling Shalvey is project coordinator with the German National Academy of Sciences. Afternoon, Aisling.
Hi there, how are you doing?
And I assume that when you were doing this research, that were you surprised to find an Irish person there?
Extremely surprised, yes, because Ireland was neutral during World War II, as you know, so it was really not expected that we would ever find anything to do with Ireland. And actually, it was a colleague of mine based in Oxford who saw his name, Patrick O'Connell, and thought straight away there has to be some Irish connection there. And he was right.
Now, so as far as you've been able to figure out, what was Patrick's story in the sense of how did he end up involved in the war?
I suppose this is part of the reason why we want to find the family. We have information on his enlistment with the army. So we know he was in the C Company, 1st Battalion of the Royal Irish Fusiliers, who was sent to France in October in 1939. But, I mean, he was born in Castlemartyr near Youghal in County Cork. So how exactly he got from Youghal to the Royal Irish Fusiliers in France in October 1939 is still unknown.
Okay. And so what were the circumstances then of his capture?
So we know he was captured by the Germans in Arras in France in 1940. And then he was brought to a prisoner of war camp in June in 1940. Then he was sent from there to another camp in Trier in July in 1940. Then sent to a work camp near Bromberg, near Poland, where he worked for some time. And then ended up in Berlin.
He's moved around a lot.
Absolutely, moved around a huge amount. So he was working in an armament factory for a time, but again as a prisoner of war. So his story is not straightforward, I'll put it that way.
Yeah, but his health was never that good.
From as far as we can tell, no. So in his documents where he was brought into the British Army, we were told that he had tuberculosis as a child, but had no flare-ups, nothing like that. He was considered essentially to be cured. But, you know, back in the day, it would be very difficult to be fully cured of tuberculosis. So it seems to be then that once he ended up in these prisoner of war camps where the conditions were really brutal, he had a flare-up of tuberculosis. And it seems that that spread to his brain and was the eventual reason why he died.
Now, was there an operation carried out on him, at least an attempt to save him?
Yes, there was. Operation conducted on him on his lungs, where it was serious tuberculosis on the right hand side. So he was admitted to the hospital for that.
Yeah.
But okay. It seems that after the surgery, they realized actually it was much more widespread. So a few days afterwards, he got a really high fever, was quite dazed and very, very minimally responsive, and just never really came around. And he died on the 24th of the 4th in 41.
They buried him, but not all of them.
Yes. And this is part of, I guess, the problem really is that his condition and his sort of story is not, unfortunately, not unique to prisoners of war. There was the Geneva Convention in 1929. So the earlier one, not the one after World War II, where it basically stated after World War I that, you know, you have to bury enemy combatants in entirety, inform their family and have a respectful burial. So it looks like they attempted to do that, possibly in an effort to hide the reality. So he was brought to the military burial ground. His family was informed about it. They even had the option and took the option to put up a personalized headstone. However, we do know that his body was not complete. His brain had been retained for research, actually in a German research institute up until the post-war era. So they were actually still conducting experiments even after the war had ended and the family were none the wiser.
Yeah. Grotesque as that is, I suppose the only it's German efficient record keeping that's enabled you to be able to discover all of this.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, it's honestly quite well documented. But the difficulty that we're having at the moment now is that in the immediate post-war era, with, you know, the wall going up in across Germany and the movement of different Nazi researchers, of course, who were at that point being hunted by different tribunals. So some of the material that was retained for research has, you know, moved institutions multiple times. So while he was initially researched on in Berlin, we have every reason to think that it's possible that his remains are in Frankfurt. But honestly, it's trying to chase up all these little possible research connections that may have been. So it's a long process.
Yeah. So the rest of his body, you think, is in Frankfurt, or the brain is in Frankfurt?
The brain is in Frankfurt. At least we believe that to be the case at the moment. My colleagues there are still undergoing the process of archiving and documenting everything that they're finding in the research collections. So it's an ongoing process.
And was there a particular reason why they chose to research on his brain? Was it because of the tuberculosis, or they would just routinely retain parts of people who died?
Semi-routinely, but not, I guess, completely routinely, if that makes sense. So in essence, what we can gather is that he was a prisoner of war. He was essentially completely at the whims of, you know, the prisoner of war camps that they were caring for him. And while they wouldn't have necessarily taken the brain from someone who just, you know, died a natural death and had nothing, you know, of interest, so to speak, we know that they were doing some research on tuberculosis, particularly on tuberculous meningitis. So, you know, tuberculosis of the brain. And he happened to have that. So they thought, OK, well, look, we can take his brain and there won't be a huge amount of people asking questions here because he is in the hospital in the prisoner of war camp. So, you know, there would have been no family to come and see him and, you know, these kind of things. So it was, I guess, easy pickings, so to say. And unfortunately, his case is not unique in terms of prisoners of war.
Yeah. Now, you are hoping to make contact with any family he might still have in Cork. So have you had any luck in that regard?
We have been somewhat lucky, actually. The Hollybough publication came out in and around Christmas last year. And since then, the journalist who helped me put that together, John Dolan, has been, you know, really tirelessly looking around in the local area to see if even anyone had even a recollection of, you know, playing GAA with him as a young kid or something like that, even something really, really minimal. Because the difficulty we have with a lot of this is it's very, what would you say, anonymized and very distant, just medical files. You don't get an understanding of the person from anything like that. So actually in other cases, we have been able to trace the family and they've given us photographs. And for example, a French person I've been in contact with, his family, and they've told me that he was a very accomplished equestrian and spoke five different languages and loved sport. And it's these kind of things, along with a family photograph, that really give you an idea of the person. So we're hoping for something like that. We have a few possible names to trace up that may be family members, but we're waiting to make contact yet.
Yeah, okay. So to repeat that, Patrick O'Connell, originally from Castlemartyr, died around 1940, was it, Aisling?
1941.
In France. Aisling Shalvey is project coordinator with the German National Academy of Sciences. Aisling, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.